It is Sunday morning, and general session of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois is back in order.
Yay!
Everybody in this room gets kudos because you're here nice and early, and I'm sure people did stay up late. I'm going to move the agenda around a bit. We're going to begin by reading that constitutional amendment that needs to be read a second time. And then we're going to go straight to resolutions and then chapter reports. So if you see chapter presents that are not up front, send them up here. Denise, you want to begin with an opening door prize?
Yes, we have $50 to give away to some lucky person, along with a box of Fannie Mae chocolates and a mug from the 1989 convention. And it's going to go to a person who probably wasn't even born yet. In fact, I'm sure she wasn't. Salam Mohammed, would you like $50?
I'll bet she's here. Salam?
Yeah.
Salam? Oh, good. I figured she would be. Good scholarship class. They're here at 9 o'clock. Okay.
At the breakfast meeting.
Now, somebody's calling up the chocolates. I want every chapter present that's in the room up here. We're going to do this constitutional amendment. Now, this time what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it as amended. Article 5, officers and their duties. There shall be elected at the regular annual convention during each even-numbered year a president, a first vice president, a second vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. The terms of these officers shall begin at the close of the convention at which they are elected and qualified. Officers shall be elected by a majority vote of the members present and voting. There shall be no proxy voting. If no nominee from the list of nominees receives a majority vote, the person with the least number of votes shall be dropped from the list of nominees, and a second ballot shall be taken. This procedure shall continue until one of the nominees has received a majority. Voting shall be decided by a majority of the active voting members. The president and the vice presidents must be blind. The duties of each officer shall be those ordinarily associated with those offices. Article 6, Board of Directors. Elections, powers, and duties. The Board of Directors of this organization shall consist of the 5 constitutional officers and 6 additional members, 4 of whom shall be elected for 2-year terms at the annual convention during odd-numbered years, and 2 of whom shall be elected during annual conventions during even-numbered years. The majority of the board members must be blind. The board of directors shall be elected in the same manner as that prescribed for the election of officers. The board shall meet at the call of the president or on written call signed by any 3 of the board members. The board shall advise the president and shall have charge of the affairs of the organization between conventions. At least 6 of the members of the board must be present at any meeting to constitute a quorum to transact business. The board may be polled by telephone, email, or by mail ballot on any question. All right, do I get a motion to amend our Constitution? That was a second reading.
Second.
I got a move, I got a second. Any discussion?
Madam President, David Meyer.
Dave?
I'll do this without a mic. Am I right to assume then that if this amendment passes, the newly created board positions would be filled now?
Yes.
And then they would again be up for election next year?
Some of them. I don't want to go, I'm not going to No, we'll figure that out later, Dave. It's too complex.
Okay.
But yes, they will. The new positions will be filled this time. We will figure out which four need to be finished out when in even numbered years, and which two are going to be odd numbered, or four will be odd and two will be even. I'm not going to sit here and do that right now, because my brain is not capable of doing it right now. But I, you know. Okay. Any other comments, questions? Can. Because we really feel like we need to include students more. We need to include the vendors. We added 106 members to our affiliate a year and a half ago, and there's no, I mean, Bill and Mary Lou are vendors, but they're not part of this new group. It also gives us the opportunity to try and reach out to more people from downstate.
Okay.
Is the thought. Yeah, we're trying to get a little more diverse. And frankly, most affiliates our size do not have a 9-person board. Some have as many as 17. Now, between you and me, I think that's way too many.
Yeah.
But I do believe that 11 makes a lot of sense. In fact, I thought that for years, but I didn't want to propose this amendment until I wasn't president, because I didn't want people to think I was trying to pack the board. So now that I'm not running, I feel safe to put forward this amendment. All right, I'm going to call the question.
Okay, that was cool.
That's fine. It's a good question. All right, those in favor of amending the Constitution as read, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. All right, we now have an 11-person board, or we will at the end of this convention. Next on the agenda, do we have time for a quick door prize? You get a door prize ready? Okay. And then we're going to go right into resolutions. Chris, do you want to stay up here or do you want to be down there?
Okay.
It's up to you. So it's totally up to you.
Testing. Okay, there you go. All right. We are doing a mug from... A mug from 1999, a $10 gift certificate to Subway, a shoulder bag, and the Wilson recorder, and that is going to go to Roberta Reef.
Roberta Reef, I'll bet she's here. Roberta here? Roberta, are you here? No.
Uh-oh.
Oh, next. I don't know. Let's move on.
Okay, we shall do that. Okay. Everly Hairston.
Everly.
She here?
She might be checking out. She had to be at a thing this 7 o'clock this morning. Nope.
Okay.
Yes. Next.
Oh, thank you. Okay, here.
This is...
It always gets harder on Sunday.
Well, she's in the room because I hear her back there. Debbie Pittman.
Yep, she is here.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. Now, as you know, the convention is the supreme authority of the Federation, both at the national and state level. So how do we decide what we're going to do? Well, the process is by resolution. Chris Jekyll has been kind enough to chair our resolutions committee, and I'm going to put him on, but let's begin by giving him a big hand. Thank you, Chris.
You know, it's always nice to come to an applause and not booze. So thank you. Thank you, thank you. Okay, so we've got six resolutions to go through today. We will, I guess Debbie will read them, and then we'll do the motions and the voting and all that, okay? So Debbie, please feel free to proceed with resolution number one.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yes. Resolution one regarding non-visual access to taxi cabs in Chicago. Submitted by Stephen Histalis. Whereas the National Federation of the Blind strongly supports non-visual information access, that is, information available to sighted people must be just as equally, easily, quickly, and intuitively non-visually accessible and available to people who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas technologies related to rear seat communication devices in taxicabs now can provide equal information access to persons who are blind or visually impaired, and whereas at this time some systems now in public use in Chicago, taxicabs, provide information to blind and visually impaired people in an excellent and accessible fashion, and whereas far too many of these devices and systems, however, do not provide equal access to blind people, and whereas the City of Chicago's Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, MOPD, and the Department of Business and Consumer Affairs, BACP, are working on functional standards for such systems, now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled this second day of November 2014 in the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this organization strongly urge the City of Chicago to issue a clear and robust regulation delineating a timeline for installation and implementation of these systems, and be it further resolved that this organization urge the City of Chicago to consider lack of equal information access in rear seat communication devices a violation punishable according to ordinances pertaining to other taxi infractions.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. The committee does recommend this for due pass. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Okay. And so because the committee has debated this yesterday, we can't open up the floor to brief discussion, but because of time constraints, we ask that if you want to make a comment, please make sure that's absolutely necessary. So with that being said, any comments? Okay. We'll put it up to a vote. All in favor of adopting resolution number one, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it. Resolution number one is passed. Okay. Debbie, would you like to proceed with resolution number two?
Resolution number two. Hold on for my technology to bring me there.
Take your time.
regarding the failure of the Illinois Department of Rehabilitation Services to appoint a director or otherwise respond to the concerns of the blind submitted by Bill Reif and David Meyer. Whereas, in June of 2013, Bureau of the Blind Director Betty Odom Davis retired from that position, and whereas, since that time, the Bureau has been informally overseen by Francisco Alvarado, a person who was selected without the input or prior knowledge of the Blind Services Planning Council, consumer organizations of the blind, or other important stakeholders, and whereas it is therefore not known whether the current acting director has the education, experience, or other qualifications to direct the Bureau in a collaborative manner, and whereas in the intervening 16 months, our concerns about the Bureau's leadership have been affirmed in that neither its acting director nor DOORS director have been responsive to the Blind Services Planning Council or other stakeholders, violating the letter and spirit of the Bureau of Blind Services Act, and whereas the BSPC has received no written reports from the Director of Rehabilitation Services nor the Acting Bureau Chief since November 2012, and whereas no candidate was chosen as Bureau Chief by Director of Rehabilitation Services, even though one of the considered candidates received endorsement from the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois and the Illinois Association of Blind Merchants, the Illinois Council of the Blind, and the Blind Services Planning Council, and whereas without an effective collaborative leader, the BSPC has no way of meeting its responsibility to oversee and advise the Bureau regarding the changing needs and technologies that are integral to effective service delivery, thus resulting in a deterioration of said services. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled, etc., that this organization demand that the DOORS director, the DHS director, and the governor expedite the selection of a bureau director, and be it further resolved that if such cooperation is not immediately forthcoming, that this organization, in collaboration with the BSPC and other organizations representing the interests of the blind, pursue all remedies to ensure enforcement of our right to effective services through a strong Bureau of the Blind.
Great, thank you, Debbie. Committee recommends for due pass. Do we have a motion?
Second.
Okay. Brief comments, if absolutely necessary.
Okay.
Okay, go
on. I've got to share with you guys what happened for this convention. I sent an invitation to both David Hansen and Francisco Alvarado in May. I resent an invitation on August 25th, 2014. Last Tuesday, I received in my old email box, and I would note that they both have my new email, I received in my old email box an email which said, apology for not responding sooner. Francisco Alvarado would be happy to attend your conference. So I responded and said, please, you know, we'd love to have you speak. Come in at 9 o'clock. Let me know you're here. We'll save you a luncheon ticket. And so I figured he would be coming, even though he couldn't be on the agenda because the final agenda had come out 2 weeks before that. We would accommodate him anyway. And then on Friday, when we had already convened this convention, I received an email from Mr. Alvarado. I know both of these are not really, they're from his secretary. But the email said on Friday that his plane was delayed due to wind and that he wasn't feeling really well, so he would not be appearing on Saturday. So you can take that for what it says to you.
Love it.
And so, you know, based on what Patty just said, it lends, you know, gravity to this resolution. So without any further ado, let's take a vote. All in favor for resolution number 2?
Aye.
Okay, all opposed say nay. Okay. And the ayes have it. Okay, resolution number 2 is passed. All right, Debbie, if you'd like to proceed with resolution number 3.
Indeed. Resolution number 3 regarding the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois' appreciation to Illinois congressional members for standing up for workers with disabilities, submitted by Jamal Powell. Whereas H.R. 831 was introduced during this Congress to eliminate Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act, and whereas this section, as written, allows for employers to be exempt from paying their disabled workers at least the minimum wage, and whereas such a provision in the law is outdated and discriminatory, and whereas, despite the discriminatory nature of this section of law, some so-called organizations of the disabled, who mainly run sheltered workshops, have lobbied Congress to keep the status quo, thus supporting the second-class status of disabled workers, and whereas, the political pressure applied to these special interest groups, several members of the Illinois Congress delegation have chosen to stand with the National Federation of the Blind and other disability rights organizations by deciding to co-sponsor H.R. 831. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled, etc., etc., hereby thank the following members for standing up for disabled workers: Tammy Duckworth, Bill Enyart, Robin Kelly, Sherry Bustos, Mike Quigley, Bobby Rush, and Jan Chakowski. And be it further resolved that we strongly encourage these members to encourage their colleagues to stand with us. A mandatory language by congressional delegation, Ray Resolution Fair Wages Act. So this was an amendment that was added after the first reading of the resolution. Be it further resolved that this organization strongly urged members of the Illinois congressional delegation, not yet co-sponsoring, and there's a list, Rodney Davis, Danny Davis, Bill Foster, Luis Gutierrez, Randy Holtzgren, Adam Kinzinger, Peter Roskam, Brad Schneider, Aaron Schock, and John Shimkus to sign on to H.R. 831 or subsequent bills. And be it further resolved that this organization strongly urge Senators Richard Durbin and Mark Kirk to offer companion bills to H.R. 831 or subsequent bills.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. The committee recommends Resolution 3 for due pass. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, and again, we'll open up the floor for any comments, but please make sure that they are necessary. Okay, we'll do a vote. All in favor of Resolution Number 3, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. Resolution Number 3 is passed. Okay, Debbie, you'd like to proceed with Resolution Number 4.
Resolution Number 4 regarding training offered by the National Association of Blind Merchants and Hadley School for the Blind, submitted by Patty Gregory Chang. Whereas state licensing agencies under the Randolph-Shepard Act are required to provide training to ensure prospective blind entrepreneurs are qualified to manage and operate vending facilities, and whereas many state vocational rehabilitation agencies have inferior training programs or do not have the resources to provide meaningful training to prospective blind entrepreneurs, and whereas recruiting qualified candidates for the Randolph-Shepard program has become a challenge for many state licensing agencies, and whereas a major deterrent to attracting quality candidates is the time required to be away from home to complete training, and whereas the National Association of Blind Merchants and the Hadley School for the Blind have launched an online training program that represents the first ever national training curriculum for Randolph-Shepard, and whereas the training will be delivered utilizing Hadley's internationally recognized online training model, and whereas Hadley will have a faculty instructor dedicated to teaching the online courses, and whereas most higher education institutions in this country now allow students to complete undergraduate and postgraduate degrees online, and it has proven to be a successful platform for educating college students, and whereas this training is being made available to state vocational rehabilitation agencies at a very reasonable cost per student, and whereas the Hadley training will allow prospective Randolph-Shepard vendors to complete critical modules that will replace most of the classroom training required that the SLAs only have to provide state-specific training and the hands-on experience. And whereas by adopting this training, it will give our state's blind citizens more options to be placed in other state BEP programs. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, in convention assembled this second day of November 2014, that at the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this affiliate recommend that the Committee of Blind Vendors and Business Enterprises Program Management give serious consideration to adopting the Hadley training as the core coursework required for all prospective Randolph Shepherd entrepreneurs, and be it further resolved that the BEP program develop a short-term training to educate trainees or state educate trainees on state requirements, and also develop a hands-on, on-the-job experience that reinforces the concepts learned from the Hadley coursework.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. The committee, yeah, that's a lot. Let's give Debbie a round of applause for doing awesome reading this weekend. I think we take, you know, it's easy to forget that this is, you know, it's reads all these resolutions, the resolutions, and sometimes, you know, I maybe missed a misspelling before I sent it to her. So I appreciate, I want Debbie to know that we all appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. So do, with the committee recommends resolution number 4 for do pass, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay. All right. Notes, if any, please make them brief. Okay. All in favor of resolution number 4, please say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it. Resolution number 4 is passed. Debbie, if you'd like to continue with resolution
sure.
number 5.
Resolution number 5 regarding all ride-sharing experiences to follow all state and federal disability non-discrimination laws, submitted by Jamal Powell. Whereas the Illinois White Cane Act and the Illinois Human Rights Act contains language that states that common passenger carriers and places where the public are invited cannot treat people differently based on disability. And whereas the 2008 amendments to the Americans with Disabilities Act generally allows persons with disabilities to use service animals in public as long as the animal provides a useful function, such as guide dogs. And whereas ride-sharing companies are a new phenomenon that is cheaper than most traditional taxi cabs, and blind people find these services useful and convenient. And whereas blind people who are users of guide dogs encounter taxi drivers who don't want a dog in their car, and such denial of service is discriminatory and thus unlawful, now therefore be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled this second day, et cetera, that this organization call on all ride-sharing companies who are or desire to operate in the state of Illinois to follow such non-discrimination laws. And be it further resolved that this organization call on all governmental authorities or who regulate transportation providers to enforce all applicable non-discrimination laws.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. Okay, the committee recommends resolution 5 for do pass. Do I have a motion? Okay, the third. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Always good to have a third. Okay, yes.
Yeah, there are a few little grammatical glitches
not
in this.
Doing grammar right
it
now.
Needs to be smooth just a teeny bit.
They will be.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, you know, this is democracy. I want to encourage you all to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay. So, if there are no further comments, I'd like to call it. Okay. All in favor of passing resolution 5, please say aye.
Aye.
All in favor, please, or excuse me, mm-hmm. any of those opposed, please say nay.
You can do it the way Rita says.
Yeah, right. Anyone? Anyone opposed? Anyone?
No.
There's got to be somebody who opposes it here. Okay. Assuming that we're good to go, the ayes have it. Resolution number 5 is passed.
That's malfunction, Stephanie. Number 5 is alive.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Debbie, if you'd like to proceed.
Okay. Resolution, this doesn't have a number, but it is resolution number 6. resolution calling for non-visual access and central taxicab dispatching smartphone apps. Whereas, in recent years, rideshare services have presented formidable competition to the taxicab industry, and whereas, the City of Chicago's Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection, BACP, regulates the taxicab industry in Chicago, and whereas, in an article published Monday, October 27th, the Chicago Tribune reported that BACP will let bids for a company to produce a smartphone app which will work like a central dispatching system. That is, the app will dispatch a taxi cab closest to the customer's location from any company. And whereas, on Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014, the City Council convened a joint committee meeting and public hearing on accessible taxi cabs. And whereas, the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois presented testimony urging the City of Chicago to adopt strong standards requiring non-visual access in rear seat communication devices, whereas the same principle applies to smartphone apps. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urged the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection and Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, MOPD, to ensure competent and equal non-visual access. That is, the information available to sighted people must be just as equally, easily, quickly, and intuitively non-visually accessible to people who are blind or visually impaired.
Okay. The committee recommends for due pass. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Okay. Comments, if any? All right, let's do a vote. All in favor of passing resolution number 6, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, say nay. Anyone? Anyone? Okay, great. Resolution number 6 is passed. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Give a round of applause for the committee. The committee.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much, Chris. Next is going to be chapter reports. So those of you who are chapter presidents who are still in the audience, and I know you're all here because I just checked, want to make your way towards the stage. I'm going to put Ed Birmingham on first, and then we're going to go downstate to Brian Sumner. So, Ed, you talking from the table or from up here?
Can we do a door prize while they're doing that?
We can.
Okay.
Let's do one quickly. By the way, Chatch Presidents, 5 minutes or less. This is a marathon here. Tell us what you did in the last year in 5 minutes or less.
Okay. We have one of the mugs, of course. We have a bank that's actually a furry wolf. And we have $25 to put in that bank. Now, I'm not sure he's here, but Peyton Mattison?
I think the Mattisons are gone.
Are they gone? Okay.
Try it again.
All righty. Terry Magus. Is Terry in the room?
Austin, your mom here? Or dad here? Okay.
Okay. Well, maybe Austin, you'll get up. Well, Austin... You just got lucky.
Austin Magus. Like, we need to give him some more money now, right?